This passage, and you'll recognize it, verse 24 and following, Matthew 7, says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto..." Wait, let me get it right. "And doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, when you get married, or when you begin to build a family, there's more than one way to do it. You can do it right, or you can do it a bunch of wrong ways. Sand is plentiful. Solid rock may be a little harder to get to. But hopefully you'll build on solid rock. Now, Betty and I made some decisions. Even after that rocky start, we made some decisions that we have lived by for many, many years now, that have stood us in good stead and have made us very, very happy people. I thought I loved her when I married her. And here, 50 years into this, there's no way to describe the depth of how we feel toward each other. Here's some decisions that have helped us to be like that after all this time. Number one, we determined we were going to have a peaceful home. Peaceful. Not yapping at one another. Not picking at one another. Not yelling at one another. Just not doing it. Peaceful. Number two, we have determined to be accountable to each other. Accountable for our time. Accountable for everything. Just be accountable to each other. If I want to ask her a question, she doesn't flinch to give me the answer. If she asks me a question, I don't flinch when she asks the question. It's okay for her to ask me what I was doing, who I was with, who said what. It's okay. I'm glad to report on, you know. Now, we have two grown children now. I'm glad to be accountable to my grown children. I don't mind that at all. Now, I'm still their daddy, but if they want to know who, what, where, when, why, I'm glad. I don't flinch. I'm glad to report all of that. Now, being accountable to each other is not a matter of, it's not a negative situation. It is a positive situation because it builds for you as you go. In the same vein of being accountable to each other, you've heard that little statement, keep short accounts. Keep short accounts. If one of you misspeaks, and you will sometimes, you know, but if you do it, you know that you did it. Don't wait till the other one is having to show that their feelings are hurt. If you say something that you know didn't come out of your mouth like it should, maybe came out a little crossways with a little tiny barb on it, say so. Correct it right away. Just say, "Oops, did that sting when that came out?" You know, I mean, just learn to fix it. And be open and quick to fix it. Now, be accountable to each other. I'm so glad for cell phones. And I got a new cell phone, Pastor. One of these iPhones. Y'all have to forgive me, but gadgets. I mean, I'm a sucker for gadgets. And it's not that I have to have it to be happy, but oh my. If I get it, I enjoy it. Now, I got one of those iPhones here the other day, and this one actually has, I don't know what they call it, but it's a deal where you just push a button. I bet it doesn't have one yet, so we can't, but my son has one. We can push a button and actually watch one another while we're talking. This is like seeing one another on TV right on the phone. It's incredible. Now, Betty's birthday rolls around. I'm going to get her one, amen? Because I like looking at her while I'm talking to her, amen? Now, so, but you know, it's wonderful because it provides accountability. I mean, here I am traveling a lot. And when I'm out on the road now, I left it in the car while we got church going on. But you know, we just stay in touch all the time. Now, being accountable. Number three, we're talking about rules of the house, our house. Number three, we have one pocketbook. Now I understand. I have a wallet. She has a purse. And that's the right order on that, amen. But what I'm saying is we have one bank account. Yeah. One bank account. We have one checkbook. Yeah. And whatever income I have, whatever income she has, whatever comes in, it all goes in that one bank account, and it's all there. It's all accounted for. Yeah. Now, in line with that, and again, I'm not trying to say you got to do everything the same way we've done it. I'm just saying I think it'd be a good idea if you got in the neighborhood where we are. She and I determined early neither one of us would make major expenditures without the other one being on board. Now, let me tell you how that works. I also like cars. I like cars. Betty would drive a car until the wheels come off of it. She would. She would drive it till the wheels come off. I like having a nice car. In fact, the one I'm driving today is her car. I insist on keeping her in a nice car. Once in a while, I borrow it and get to use it. But if my car, if I get where I think I need to trade cars, you know what I have to do? It takes me 6 months. After supper, I say, let's go for a drive. Where are we going? We're going to drive through car lots. We drive through, I say, what do you think about that? What do you think about that? Yeah, she's not even interested in looking. But a couple weeks later, let's go drive through car lots. Hey, what do you think about the blue one? No, I don't like blue. What color do you like? Take 6 months of that now to kind of get her ready to trade cars. Now, you say, well, why? Well, you're the man of the house. Why don't? No. She and I agreed. So we're going to take our time. And when I buy a car, I guarantee you she's on board with it. That's the way we do it. Makes it work. One pocketbook. Number four. Rules of our house is we have what I call a one vote rule. This has to do with television, computer stuff. One vote rule. Something comes on the TV that is the slightest bit off center, only takes one person to flinch. Just one person to say, oops. It's turn. You say, well, I only got 2 minutes left in the program. Only takes one person. And we have agreed at our house that nobody else will get up the MIF tree if one person casts the vote. Amen. Now, you say, what's the deal? We're keeping the devil out of our house. Amen. We're not letting that bunch of renegades from Hollywood dictate what goes on in our house. You say, well, what in the world do you watch? I tell you what we watch at our house. We go in there and sit down in the living areas at night, and I say to her, I say, now, doll, We got several choices we can watch tonight. We can watch baseball, and baseball. Now, she gets a little weary of that sometimes, so she goes upstairs where there's another television to watch the cooking shows. She watches cooking, 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 and cooking. And when she gets done with that, she comes downstairs and we go out to eat. But hey, that one vote rule, I'm not about to let the devil have place in my house. And so we all can cast the vote when we need to. Number five, our children are grown now. But let me say to you, if you have children, and this was true when the children were in the house, and it's true to now, our children are never going to be permitted to divide us. They're not going to divide us. They say, they're our children. We love them. They love us. I know, but the little stinkers, they will divide you if you're not careful. Daddy says no. Well, we can talk mama into it. They might do that one time, but we catch them at it, and it's not going to come out too good for them. You don't go around daddy, and you don't go around mother. You just don't do it. Not going to let that happen. So, well, we had a situation where the two of us didn't agree on something. Don't ever let the kids know it. Go back to your bedroom, close the door, and the two of you sort it out. And when you come out that door, both of you come out smiling. Now, this is not only good for you, the two of you, but it's also good for the children. They need a united front from mom and dad all the way, all the time. And so we will not let, and hey, not only will we not let them divide us, we're not going to let anybody else divide us. You try driving a wedge between me and that girl, you're going to have your hands full. Because we'll both turn on you. You know, we're not going to let that happen. All right. Number six. At our house, we have a three-bite rule. Three bites. Whatever Betts cooks and puts on the table, Daddy and the children, we all eat three bites of it, whether we like it or not. If Mother cooks it, three bites. Doesn't have to be huge bites, but it has to be bites. And not only that, if you don't like it, you are not entitled to go fussing about it. You'll eat the three bites, and none of that grumping around at what Mama cooks. Now, we did that when the children were small. Just me and her at the house now, but we still do that. And that girl knows I don't like zucchini. She still prepares it sometimes. I like most things. But you know what I'm talking about when I talk about English peas? The little green devils? Huh? Yeah. Now, I did find a recipe that works for green peas. Ladies, you can get a pan, a pot about so big, fill it full of dumplings, and throw three green peas in it. Now look, I can eat zucchini and I can eat green peas. I didn't like it the first time and I don't like it now. But if Betty prepares it, I'll give you my cell phone, you can call her and ask her. If she prepares it, I'm going to eat some of it. And I'm not going to fuss at her for having done it. Just the way we've lived, and I think it's only right. All right, three bite rule. Number seven, we communicate. We talk to each other. Yesterday morning, I left Murfreesboro, your time about 1:30 yesterday. And I was up early and headed out of the house just a little bit before 6 o'clock yesterday morning. And And I looked at her and I said, "Coming to breakfast?" Now, I'm an early bird and I get up and get out of the house pretty early every morning. But I take a break about 7:30 and go get a bite of breakfast at McDonald's. Now, that's just what I do. But yesterday morning, I looked at her, and of course, Saturday, there's nobody officially at work at the Sword, although there usually is some of us there. But I looked at her, and I said, "Coming to breakfast?" She said, "I don't know. You want me to?" I said, "I'd love for you to." Now, she met me at my McDonald's place. She met me about 7 o'clock, and we sat there for an hour and 15 minutes yesterday morning. And it don't take that long to eat a bagel. Say, "What were you doing?" "We were just looking at one another and talking, communicating." Say, "What'd you talk about?" "I don't even remember." It doesn't matter. But we were just talking. And that needs to happen on a regular basis. You can do it at your own breakfast table. You don't have to go out to do that. Sometimes you get in the car and just drive around. And she and I do that a good bit now in the evenings after we eat. Sometimes, drive through those car lots and stuff. you get in the car and drive around for 20, 30 minutes, lots of talk time. Don't turn the radio on. Just talk. Communicate. It'll do you good. Now, all right, number eight. Pastor, we need to stop almost right now, right? Okay, all right. Number eight, respect each other. Respect. That plays a bunch of ways, but learn that principle of respect. Number nine, we are givers rather than takers. One of the big secrets to happiness in marriage is give, give, give. To each other. Can't be just one-sided. It's got to be to each other. He gives, she gives. And that means around the house. I mean, we wait on each other, baby each other. You know, you want something, I want something. I mean, just taking care of each other. Be givers to each other. Now, number 10, if you need to confront one another about something. Now, please understand, you can have a happy marriage and still have some times along the way where you're getting a little bit fretted with each other. You can. He irritates me. She irritates me. Okay, we need to talk about that. We need to figure out what, why, and how to fix it. And again, both of us being players here, so that we're not blowing up our back and say, "Well, I don't know why you." No. If it's bothering her, I need to be bothered by it. If it's bothering her, I want it fixed, and vice versa. But if you need to confront your spouse about something. And when I say confront, I mean if you need to bring something up that's an irritation or whatever, do it kindly, do it gently, do it sweetly. Even if you are irritated, don't come in with a bulldozer blade on. You know, be kind, be gentle. Don't say stuff that you'll be wishing 6 months from now you hadn't said. Just be kind and gentle. Number 11. People are more important than things. Your family is more important than the stuff. Whether I have an iPhone or an iPad or a TV or all the latest video games, listen, I mean, if I have some of that, fine. But if I don't have it, Betty and I can still be happy. Because people are more important than the stuff. I learned a principle from my daddy on this. My daddy went to heaven about 2.5 years ago. And when I was growing up, The farm where my mother still lives is at a crossroads. Dad's farm sits in one quadrant of that crossroads. Right across the road, there's another farm, and the only close neighbor, Luther Gardner's place. He has 150 acres across the road there. And Dad had a smaller farm and worked away from home. And when he would come in of an afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, summertime, my brothers and I are out in the front yard playing ball, softball, baseball. And where we stood to bat, we wore the grass totally down to the bare. Where the pitcher stood, it was worn totally to the bare. One day, Dad came in from work, pulled up a lawn chair, sitting there. He was watching us play ball. Luther came across the highway just to chat with Dad, and they did that a lot. Luther pulled up a lawn chair, and they were sitting there, and a little bit Luther said, "Bill," said, "those boys are going to wear your grass out." Dad never even responded. I mean, I stand there close enough, I heard the whole conversation, never even responded. A couple of minutes passed, and Luther said, "Bill," he said, "those boys are going to wear your grass out." Dad ignored it a second time. The third time, when Luther said, "Those boys are ruining your grass," my daddy looked right at him. He said, "Luther," he said, "I'm not raising grass, I'm raising boys." And then he said, "When my boys get grown, then I will raise grass." I learned a big lesson that day, Brother Ross. A huge lesson. Now, people are more important than stuff. Now, all right, number 12. We don't do a lot of separate activities. Children were growing up, sports and things, we did the things we all had interest in. We didn't go running off in a bunch of separate directions. I mean, once in a while we had to do something separately, but as a general rule, we don't go running a bunch of separate directions. We do things together. Number 13, if you got children, I believe in animals. If you got children, and if you can work it out, I think you'll have some kind of a living creature. It can be a dog, it can be a, I don't know about a cat, but anyway. You know, even if you got a little apartment, you can have goldfish or parakeets or something. And you say, what's the deal here? Children, pretty early on, need to learn how to take care of living things. They need to learn respect for life. And they'll learn a lot of other lessons along the way. Yes, if you have the animals. My son and his wife have 4 children, and they're out in a rural neighborhood, and he has 5 acres, and they have dwarf goats, and they have 2 Great Pyrenees dogs to guard the goats against the coyotes. And now they have chickens, laying hens. And I'm telling you, that little 5-acre farm of his, what a laboratory for raising children. Wonderful. All right, animals. Number 14, no flirting, no creating of jealousy. Just none. Now, let me put in parenthesis here and say, friendly is one thing, flirting is another. And we don't have to define either term because we all know the difference. We know what friendly is and we know what flirting is. And you can be friendly all day, but just no flirting. Because once you're married, you understand what I'm saying? Number 15, rules of the house. Go soul winning together. Bus routes, whatever. But, you know, I started taking my children with me, you know, when they were in elementary school. By the time they were teenagers, both of them were soul winners. Just tagging along with Daddy. Betty and I, over the years, have made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of calls together. And in addition to whatever you get accomplished doing that, it'll do good things for you because of what you're doing. Number 16, you need to let your kids grow up and start preparing pretty early to let them go. A lot of parents get grown kids and they're not willing to let them go. Now, you don't ever turn totally loose. So how long does it take to raise kids? About 40 years. But if you got one graduating from high school and you hadn't already begun to let go, you're way behind. You know. And I don't know how to explain the balance on this. I just know that somewhere along the way you start turning loose a little bit and then hopefully grabbing back. Turn loose a little bit and grabbing back. And as you go, you turn loose for a little longer and then reach and get back. And sometimes you turn totally loose one and you're still holding with this one. There comes a point where you start turning loose with both hands. Give them a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. And all that has to work out. And I can't tell you what the schedule is. Different children grow up faster, quicker, mature quicker than others. And you got to plug all that in and use the wisdom of God about it. But you got to prepare to let them go. And if you turn them loose, they'll come back to you. If you try to hang on, they'll break loose. You don't want that. All right. Number 17. Children should be taught to listen to adult conversation. Little guys in elementary school who walk into a conversation, you got guests in your house and there's three or four adults sitting there talking, and a little one comes in and interrupts that, you need to get hold of him. He needs to learn to listen when adults are talking. It'll do him good. He might learn something. He's not in charge. He doesn't know that. But you should tell him. It's not just your kids, by the way. Everybody's kids are that way. Number 18, gentleness and kindness in the house should be the norm, not harshness. We should not let our kids be harsh with each other. Number 19, I'll do these real fast, three more. Number 19, keep evil influences out of your house and off your property. That uncle from Idaho who shows up with a cooler of beer in the back of his car and he wants to unload it in your garage, no. Say, but it's my wife's cousin. I don't care whose cousin it is. Say, well, her family, they won't ever come back. Feed them, you can't keep them out of the house. Just put your arm around the dude and tell him, no way, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I'm not going to let you put beer in my house. Keep the evil influences out. Number 20, show respect to all authority figures. That means the grandparents, school staff, pastor, I mean, whoever has a position of authority, show respect to that. And don't ever let your children get away with being disrespectful to any of those. Even if there's a conflict of some kind, still show respect. You do well. Number 21, our house is a home, a place of love, rest, refuge, and retreat, not a showcase. You come to our house sometimes and you'll find a few things messed up. Beds not made, etc. Now, we make the beds at our house. But our house is not a showcase. It is a place for rest and retreat. We live there. And again, people are more important than this stuff. Those are 21 of our primary rules. We have some more, but that's 21 of them. And if you'll get on track like that, you'll be building on the rock. Amen. Amen. Pastor?